welcome to Chambers Changes and Conversations, the official podcast of Manatee County Government. We're here to break down what's happening behind the scenes in local government, from complex budgets and community projects to the people making it all happen. It's brought to you by the Board of County Commissioners, and it's your inside look at how Manatee County Government works for you. I'm Communications Division Manager Casey Zempel, along with Director of Government Relations Stephanie Garrison, and our special in-studio guest. You've seen him live on our streamed Board of County Commissioner meetings. You may have talked to him at any one of our many signature events. Joining us today, Manatee County Administrator Charlie Bishop. Charlie, welcome.
Casey. Thank you, Stephanie.
You know, before we jump into it, Charlie, thank you so much for being here. It means a lot to us. It says a lot about your endorsement to have you here on the podcast. But I'd love to start with just your journey of public service to our country as a veteran and kind of tell us how you got to Manatee County and also all of the different places in Manatee County that you've served, leading all the way up now to county administrator.
Well, thank you again. Yeah, it's been my honor to serve here as the county administrator for the last 2 years, but my journey started as a 17-year-old. I delayed enlistment with the United States Air Force, went in a week after I graduated high school at 18 years old, served 21 years throughout the United States and actually overseas, 6 years in Germany, 1 year in Cairo, Egypt. I was fortunate there was a month where I was actually in the United States Air Force and a county employee. A lot of people don't know that. I sat on my couch and watched the airplanes hit the Twin Towers, 9/11. Wow. I was still in the military. I actually thought they were going to recall me, but unfortunately or fortunately, they did not. And so my journey as a county employee started September 24th, 2001.
And what was that first role?
That first role was a project manager under then as a department called project management. And so for a couple of years, that's where my journey began to understand the county, the finances, to understand where all the buildings were in the county, the movers and the shakers, the directors, the county administrators, see what their vision was on how we could grow the county through facilities.
Mm-hmm. And so now that's evolved into where? So walk us through those 20 plus years here at the county.
Well, again, for a couple of years, I was a project manager. From there, my first management position was a facility services manager, where I oversaw a talented group of building trade workers who do the renovations in the facilities, do the maintenance of the facilities, the old jail that used to be in the judicial center, the whole county, the parks, the preserves. And again, I was fortunate for a couple of years to do that, and another opportunity came about, and I became the infrastructure division manager right when the boom of before the Great Recession.
Oh, cool.
So around 2006, 2008, I started to watch the developments come in, and we did all the inspections for the infrastructure. So again, oversaw very talented individuals, inspectors, that made sure the pipes in the ground, the road base was properly installed, following our standards and specs that Public Works and Utilities has in place. Again, understanding how the county operated. From there, a new county administrator came in, Ernie Pageant retired, Ed Hunsiger came on board, and another opportunity arose. They needed a construction services manager. They broke away the old project management department, started a new department called property management, and then they retired transportation department and created public works. And so they separated the two departments, the one department that did construction, and they made two departments. That became property management for all your vertical and your public works for all your horizontal. So again, back in the building world, I oversaw all the growth in our facilities, the growth in our parks, and I did that role for 2 years. And then the director, Jim Staples, retired, and I was selected as director of property management in 2009.
You brought up Ed Hunsiger, and I've heard you multiple times speak very fondly of Ed and his contributions to Manatee County. Before he left, what did you glean? What did you learn from Ed?
Patience. You know, sit back, let the talented people do what talented people do. Don't get in their way. There was two also very important people under him, Karen Winden, Deputy County Administrator, and Dan Slant, Deputy County Administrator. And I just watched how he operated. Being calm under don't get excited, ACE, accountability, civility, and ethics, doing work that matters, all those little things, pay attention to the details, be appreciative of all the people that do the work.
So walk us through becoming a director and then now to county administrator.
Yeah, it was a big leap, I will tell you. But as a director of property management, that's where I started to oversee 200 people, do the day-to-day operations with the money, the budget, making sure, again, I'm a taxpayer. I live here in Manatee County. That's an interesting. I've moved four times here in my 20 years. I started out on Sable Harbor off State Road 70, moved to Foxbrook and Parrish when Parrish was way out there, and moved to Chelsea Oaks, and now I live in Twin Rivers. So just as the citizens of Manatee County drive the roads, sit through the traffic, turn on the water every day, you know, I too do that. And I'm very appreciative of what the staff does, but I also understand the frustration sometimes citizens see, because I see it too. But before I became county administrator, again, I was fortunate to be deputy county administrator for two more years. And that gave me the opportunity to oversee public works. I got to oversee Convention and Visitor Bureau, Sports and Leisure, then known as Parks and Rec, and still property management.
It's an incredible career. And one of the things that I really admire about you and working under you now is you just have a heart for public service. You are a very humble leader. You're extremely approachable for all staff members. Talk to us about why this side of the government, why the staff side, the nonpartisan side, why that?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. You know, you just do what you feel is right. You just always keep what's best for the county, what's best for the government, what's best for the individual. So I always put them first, you know.
It's evident in what you do.
That's right.
As we mentioned before, you come from a military background. Our new Veterans Memorial Park has certainly come a long way since those early conversations. The park will, of course, serve as a tribute to all those who have sacrificed for our country, but it's going to be so much more. Could you share maybe some details about the park and how residents can get involved in shaping its future?
Yeah, I want to give Commissioner Bearden credit. Credit is due. You know, this was his vision to honor, you know, a lot of people don't understand that Manatee County, we may be 425,000, 450,000 strong, but we have almost 40,000 military veterans and or military personnel in this county. That's, you know, it's 10% of the county. And we need to honor that legacy, and we need to thank them for their service. And so we have a very strong board that has a military background with Commissioner McCann, Commissioner Ron, Commissioner Bearden, myself, Deputy County Administrator Brian Parnell, Courtney DePaul, husband was in the military. But again, I'm proud to be able to leave a legacy. I know that's a strong word to say, but it's going to be lasting. It's going to honor those who served and those who future serve. I'm also excited that there's a school next to this park. It's an elementary school. It gives those small children, those young minds, the opportunity to remember and reflect.
Absolutely. And it's going to be the largest memorial park in the state of Florida, right?
It's 24 acres. I don't know if it's the largest. You know, Hillsborough County has a small one. I believe it's 10 plus acres. And we have been up there several times, and we want to replicate that. But, you know, anything we do, we want to do better. And so we took their park and their project. And we did bring back Lee Washington. That's another thing I want to highlight. A former employee, has a strong military service and commitment. And he's my veterans project manager. So he's leading the charge. But we're not doing this in a silo. We're reaching out to the American Legion. We're reaching out to the veterans, the VFWs. We're reaching out to those who want to help us make this a legacy park. And again, with Commissioner Bearden's view and incorporating what we're going to call the Veterans Hub, we don't know how big it's going to be yet. We're still in the conceptual. But the idea is to put a building there in place that the veterans can come together. They can, you know, have potentially wraparound services. We don't, still, the vision's still there. It's growing. We don't have it set in place yet. But the idea is to put a veterans connection hub there so that the wraparound services, the veterans divisions, and other veteran organizations can go there and to continue to make a difference.
So how do people, you know, let's say they have an idea, how do they let us know what they would like to see out of the park?
Well, again, we are reaching out to the community. Lee Washington's doing public meetings, again, meeting with those local organizations. We're all approachable. Send us an email. That's something also I'm proud of. I read every email. Nobody else reads my emails but me.
And
I answer every one of them, even the negative ones. I reach back out to them. But Leah's there for us. Again, a misconception is how expensive this park is going to be. Yes, it's going to be up there, but the county donation is the 24 acres that we had already owned. It's the $4 million the Board of County Commissioners has already set aside. We are going through appropriations through both our state and federal. You know, sadly and unfortunately, we were hopefully getting $2.8 million from the feds this year, but that's been pushed to the next year. We're still in discussion with our Tallahassee to try to get some appropriations, but it's not stopping us. We're still moving forward with the design. We're still moving forward. The sign is up. It's there. It's promoting the park. And also something the public needs to know is we're forming a 501c3. We expect donations. We want to have sponsorships. We want different colors of money to come into this project to make it happen.
That's right. And there's actually a survey going on right now for any resident to tell us their thoughts about how we should use this park, what they'd like to see in this park. And to underline what you just said, that this is a resource center for veterans, not only a park, not only trails, because we know that's important. But Commissioner Bearden has definitely underlined that this is a place where veterans can get job support, training, connect to the existing amazing partners who are doing great work for veterans.
Yeah, and this park it's got some huge highlights. It goes through some wetlands, so mm-hmm. I've seen the conceptual again, how it meanders. It's very peaceful. You know, it's a place mm-hmm. to go to reflect.
Yeah, so not only can you reach out to Lee Washington at any of his number of speaking events or Charlie Bishop directly, but we also have a website, mymanatee.org/veteranspark. That's mymanatee.org/veteranspark. There you can learn more. You can follow the progress of this project so you've got the most up-to-date information. And, of course, take that survey that Charlie mentioned before, mymanatee.org/veteranspark. So at the beginning of the month, we held the largest expo-style pet adoption event in Manatee County history. It was Adopt-a-Palooza, and as always, it was absolutely incredible. Manatee County Animal Welfare, along with local shelters and animal rescues, were able to find forever homes for close to 100 deserving pets.
Yes, and in the lobby, there is this awesome video that I see looping of the dude. Now, Charlie, can you tell me more about the dude mm-hmm. and who the dude is and how you came to meet?
Yeah, dude is my dog. There's a great program, Pets for Patriots, again, honoring our pets and our patriots. And I was honored to do a video promoting that that initiative. I want to give credit where credit's due. Sarah Brown, who I've known now for 10 plus years, started out as our animal services manager and worked her way up. A lot like me, she now is the director of community and veteran services. And we do a lot for our animals in this county. Not only do we have one of the only cat towns, or I like to call it the feline facility, dedicated to cats. That's nothing but cats. We also, the Board of County Commissioners, again, strong passion for those that need help, and that's our animals. You can see just recently the board just committed over $2 million for our new community center for to teach people how to take care of their pets. And then, of course, you saw that we have our animal adoption center, over $5 million that's moving forward. But I've always had a soft spot for the animals. So one day I decided it was time to get a dog. Again, I've adopted 3 dogs from animal services over my 20 years here in the county. And went out to the animal services. And we have a program where the volunteers walk the dogs. And as I'm pulling into the animal services, there's one on a leash. This is where I get emotional. So...
It's all right.
I don't want you to get emotional about this stupid stuff.
Because you love her. Because you love her, and it's just real.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I was fortunate that one day I decided I needed a pet. And went to animal services, and there's a road that you drive down to before you get to the animal adoption. And there was a beautiful dog being walked on. And I pull in, and they knew who I was. They said, VIP's in the area. I said, who's the VIP? Is that you, Mr. Bishop? I said, well, I'm just here to adopt a dog. And they said, we got 7 dogs lined up for you. We want you to take your time. I said, well, there's a beautiful one there being walked right now. Why? Let's wait on that. And so I waited, and she came back. She sat down beside me, her tongue hanging out. Yeah.
You knew.
Yeah, I knew.
Right? Love at first sight.
Yeah. Yeah, but I already had the name picked out.
The dude. So regardless of gender, it was going to be the dude.
Gender didn't matter to me. It was her name or his name was going to be dude. So threw her home, and the rest is history.
So you have a, obviously a stressful job. You got a lot coming at you. How does the dude make your life better?
Oh, she's there when I get home in a wag or tail. Yeah. Doesn't ask questions. Doesn't complain. Yeah.
And how has having the dude changed your perspective on the work that our Manatee County Animal Welfare team does?
Well, again, they're doing the work that matters. They're out there every day, 7 days a week. And I wish people would just give them more credit. They're just as passionate as we are. Mm-hmm. You know, again, this is very stressful times. And, you know, these creatures, these dogs and cats, they don't know better. They don't have a choice. You know, we have the choices.
That's so right.
And if you want to follow the great example that Charlie set, mymanatee.org/pets, adopt your next family member there. And as residents work to make life better for animals in Manatee County, we're right there with them. Our expansion of the Bishop Animal Shelter is a two-phase project that introduces new facilities and resources that will support animal welfare operations for now and into the future. And I know, Stephanie, you know better than anybody about these improvements.
You know, improvements include these prefab kennels, fenced in play yards, having the temporary adoption trailer, and eventually in phase two, we'll have a brand new admin and adoption building. So this is huge. And Charlie, I just would ask, why should the public think about coming to one of our shelters versus maybe a dog that's from a breeder?
Well, again, we're a no-kill community. And so a lot of communities drop their dogs off to us. And so that's why we unfortunately get so many. But you know, again, there's so many of these underserved, you know, dogs and cats that just need a place to go home. And so take an opportunity to go out there and visit. I also like to put a plug in for our jail kennels. Again, I appreciate Sheriff Wells and his cooperation in this endeavor where we're actually, the kennels are almost ready to be open. I know the community gets tired of hearing almost, but promise you, it's in by July, August, they'll be open, which give the ability to shut down eventually the Palmetto Animal Shelter. It's that shelter is, it's time has come. It's time to rest that, which we have another opportunity, which I don't know if I can go into right now, but there is another great opportunity for that facility. But once we open up Bishop, once we open up the jail kennels, we'll be able to continue to make a difference because the surroundings will just be so much better. It'd be more inviting for the people to come to.
Yeah, you can drop by the shelter, you can adopt a pet, or, you know, you don't even have to adopt a pet. My wife and daughter and I, it's at least twice a month. We're at Cat Town, not adopting pets, although I recently did. Captain Russell, the SS Feed Me More, love you, buddy. But there's a lot you can do in just showing up to help socialize these animals and give them a better chance at adoption.
And there's a lot of opportunities for volunteer hours to include your children to go to either shelter.
Absolutely.
Walk or take care of the pets.
And a special thanks to the anonymous individual who sent an Amazon box truck full of donations to the Manatee County Animal Welfare Palmetto location a few weeks ago. Our pet pantry is now full of supplies to make life better for pets in Manatee County. And it's not just the pets that get adopted out, because we send every new pet owner home with a little bit of food, but it's also given out to those who are struggling. Times are hard. Pet food is expensive. And one of the ways, the proactive ways that Manatee County has kept pets in homes longer is we are able to distribute food to individuals who need it and to help feed their pet when times are tough.
We know it gets expensive.
Absolutely.
And Manatee County loves animals. So we're going to do whatever we can to help you keep your pets. So if that means you need a little extra food, you need a little extra supplies, please reach out. We have resources. We have generous donors like this person who sent all of that, a truckload,
yeah,
our facility. So it's something we believe in sharing is caring.
Well, again, we've got great partners. Our community foundation recently just gave us $50,000 to help with spay and neutering. Our Pets to Patriots programs helps veterans who can't afford that dog food. Again, I want to put a plug in for the future community center that's going to be able to help people understand how to maintain and take care of their pets. So, again, I give this Board of County Commissioners, I give the Community and Veteran Services, Animal Services Division, all the kudos, because they are making a difference every day.
And it's clear that Manatee County has a soft spot for animals and for you, too. It's so great to see that heart in your leadership.
You know, can I tell a funny story real quick?
Yeah, of course, of
so,
course.
Our wrapping of vehicles, that's another initiative the county took on, promoting, you know, any given time we have several hundred vehicles on the road. And we wrapped, the very first wraps were our animal service vans. And I saw the first rendering, and it had a heart or two on it. Sarah Brown says, "Well, Charlie, what do you think?" I said, "I love it, but there's not enough hearts on there." So that's why there's so many hearts on the wrap.
I love it.
And I was on the backside of that, you know, the revisions. Charlie wants more hearts. Can we get Charlie more hearts? Somebody get Charlie more hearts.
Shall we call you the King of Hearts?
The King of Hearts. That's not bad.
So just to shift gears a little bit, let's talk about something maybe a little bit more complex, but it's the time of year. It's the season for us. It's just as important, the county's budget. So today marks the official start of our budget season, the first session of which that we are streaming live on Facebook, YouTube. And if you'd like to go back and watch that, you can do so there. Charlie, you know, budget season for many taxpayers can feel like a mystery to our citizens, right? Could you walk us through how we get from staff recommendations at work sessions to the final board-approved county budget?
Yeah, well, it's a difficult process. It really is. And again, I want to give credit where credit's due, and that's Sheila McLean, our CFO, director of our finance department. This is almost a year-long process. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen in a day. It's several processes. What the public doesn't understand is there's various colors of money, and you can't mix colors of monies. If it's a park impact fee, I can't take that money and put it towards a road, or vice versa. If it's a grant, that grant is specific for that purpose. And so we have to be very careful with all these silos of money. And again, I want to give credit where credit's due. I'm fortunate that we have our chair, George Cruz, has a strong financial background. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Ron, again, he oversees our finance committee. And, you know, we all take this job serious. And the money is, you know, rubber hits the road. We only have so much.
Yeah.
And it's got to be spent wisely. And roads are expensive. Inflation mm-hmm. has taken a hit on everything that we do. You know, there was a time a couple of years ago when we put a 50% escalator on every project because we just didn't know. And, you know, so the process starts next week, 3 days work session. And fortunately, technology is our friend. And again, 24 years ago, we used to carry a binder that was probably almost 14 to 18 inches in height. And it had every program, every bucket of money. And now we've got a SharePoint site that we're unveiling.
It's awesome.
It's great. And so we've given that to the commissioners. I want to call it their homework.
Mm-hmm.
So at their fingertips, any time of the day, they can open up that SharePoint site. They can see the various programs. They can see the budget. They can see our recommendations.
No, I would say as a new director going through this for the first time, I feel really prepared. So I was given my budget. I was given, here's what you need to know. Here's how you justify it. And you held me to the fire. You know, you said, hey, I need you to justify this. And there were some things that, hey, those were nice to have. Those were let go. We had to go with what is absolutely necessary to accomplish the goals that we have. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and we have, I'll give credit where credit's due with Ed Hunziker, again, with a financial background. We have a zero-based budget, meaning that's all the money we have, and it's zero-based. You can't go negative. And so we have what's called the base, and then we have continuations, decision units. So in the base is what keeps the lights on in the county. It's the minimal that we need. You know, I can open the library one day a week if needed, but nobody wants that.
That's right.
So if you want the library open on Sundays, which we're going to propose, our libraries were closed on Saturdays and Sundays. That's the most time people would want to go to a library, mm-hmm. I would think, especially with your family, your small children.
Yeah, it's when you got free time.
Right. So we did a pilot program at Lakewood Ranch, our newest library, and it was well received. And so we're bringing to the Board of County Commissioners the opportunity to expand our hours at the library. Well, that takes more FTEs, full-time employees. So in the budget is a request to open up, I believe, four more of the libraries on Sundays. But we need people to do that. Mm-hmm. And so the budget, again, it's very complex. It's very complicated. The board sets the priorities. And if they decide they don't want to fund that, then we go back to the drawing board. But it's a long process. It starts next week. It doesn't end until October 1st. There'll be several community meetings, there'll be several workshops, and then ultimately the board will vote on the budget.
And as a citizen, you can watch all these work sessions. We stream them live on Facebook and on YouTube. You have the right to know what your local county government is up to. And we try to do our best to make that information and those work sessions especially accessible to you. Now, many major projects begin their journey in the budget process, and sometimes the bigger ones must be done in phases. A great example of this is the 44th Avenue extension, which has been divided into six segments, with the most recently completed portion being the bridge over the Braden River. How long has this project been talked about, and where do we stand on its completion today?
Well, it's coming to fruition. It's coming to completion, so I can't announce it today, but it's soon. It will be open, and that's going to be a huge reliever. But again, being here for 24 years, I know you've heard me say that a couple times now, I lived the initial phase of that, sitting in a small church in Elwood with Don Hayes and Commissioner Gwen Brown when we held a first public meeting, and it was not well received. There were people that were very upset that this road was going by their neighborhoods. But there is an opportunity here soon that from the beach almost all the way to I believe it goes past Rangeland or
yes.
Bournside,
yeah.
That you'll be able to get on one road, either be it two lanes or four lanes throughout the journey. You'll be able to go from point A to point B. And during the hurricane evacuations or the day-to-day commute, relieving the interstates, relieving State Road 64, relieving State Road 70, relieving Morgan Johnson, these are all huge endeavors. And again, it wasn't done in a day. It wasn't done in a year. It was done over several board of county commissioners. Commissioner McClash, Commissioner Whitmore, you know, Commissioner Von Hammen, these commissioners throughout the years approved this project. And the last phase going over I-75 was huge. It was nighttime operations. You know, we heard Chad Butso just recently talk about the dangers of doing that at nighttime around the power lines.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, nobody was hurt. But again, these are legacy, I'm using that word again, projects.
Charlie, I just love the history that you know off the top of your head. Like, you just bring out all these details that make it so rich to understand and appreciate the service of our team, the trials that you went through, the questions you had to answer, the problems you had to solve. It's just so cool to have someone like yourself who's been there, firsthand account of this is what we were dealing with at the time. And so you really do set the bar for calm, steady leadership, vision, purpose, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. Again, it's not me. It's the people around us. Courtney DePaul, again, Brian Parnell, our 14 departments, including you, one of our news directors. So, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the individuals, the 2,250 people that come to work 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that do this for the county.
So how do you keep the 2,200 employees that do work that matters motivated and working well together?
Well, again, it's a large county with a large workforce. We have several complexes throughout the county that these individuals work from, including 66 for our utilities, 26th Avenue with our public works. I'm in the admin building downtown. And so sometimes a span of control is difficult to get the communication across. So fortunately, again, our board had the vision to buy a new building. There was a lot of thought put into this building, and it's a domino effect. When you purchase one building, it gives us opportunities for other opportunities. And I'd like to go into those opportunities if given the chance. But buying 9,000 Town Center, 101,000 square foot building with over 600 parking spots, is going to allow the first in my lifetime, in the county's lifetime, to put the three departments that do the construction in the county. And that first one would be Development Services. Everything starts with them. It starts with permitting. It starts with the general development plan. It starts with the environment. Starts there. So they needed a new home. They were growing in this admin building. We had 26th Avenue where our public works department is housed. They build all of our horizontal, all of our roads, stormwater. And then, of course, I mentioned property management does all our vertical construction. 9,000 Town Center allows us on the first floor to put those three departments together. That's efficiency. And now you can get up, you can walk over to that individual and have a conversation.
Game changer.
Game changer. You know, people complain how long it takes us to do things. I see it too. You know, I get frustrated. And so now we have the opportunity, collaboration in one spot. And it saved us a lot of money, and I'll get into that. But the building also gives us opportunity to put our finance in the same building with the same people that are spending millions upon millions of dollars. They can get up, go talk to them, and find out do I have enough money? What color is that money? You know, when will that money be appropriated? And they can have these conversations because it takes a business case. It takes communication to get that project. We talk about the budget and how a project gets, you know, materialized, formalized. It starts in fiscal. Mm-hmm. It starts with an idea, and then that idea turns into a product.
So essentially, by having these once satellited departments now together, you hope to increase collaboration, awareness. You hope to increase efficiency.
And one department that it takes to make all this happen is Human Resources. Mm-hmm. They're on State Road 64.
That's right.
So now Human Resources will be on the second floor. And so they can see firsthand why we need that vacancy filled and how important it is to fill that vacancy. Again, government relations will be in that facility with all of our communication. Mm-hmm. So we can all collaborate together and communicate. You know, our grants will be under one mm-hmm. roof next to our fiscal mm-hmm. services. You know, so again, we may be a 2,200 strong workforce, but the meat of the 600 I just mentioned is going to be together. Yeah.
This board really underlined the fiscal responsibility of this purchase. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Again, having construction in my background, you know, construction right now could be anywhere between 300 to 600 square foot. You know, so we needed a new building. The 12th Circuit Court is expanding. As the population expands, the judges expand, the judicial expands, probation expands, Garden ad litem. The state attorney, I've known Ed Brodsky since I've been here in the county. He has sent numerous letters. He's had numerous conversations with me. He doesn't have any more room on the sixth floor. I needed to give him more space. He needs to hire more attorneys. And so this building just was not accommodating for county government. It's accommodating for the 12th Circuit Court. And so it saved us money. We didn't have to spend $74 million downtown to build a new building. We're going to repurpose this building. The chambers will stay here. The seat will stay here. The commissioner's offices will still be here. Yes, they'll still have offices at 9000 Town Center. But this building's not going anywhere. And so it gives us an opportunity to grow our court system without us growing facilities. It gives us an opportunity to have an admin annex. That's what the name's going to be, where the growth is happening out east. It gives the building department the ability. It gives customers the ability to come in and see us easier. You don't fight the downtown traffic. In the month of March when the Pirates are playing, you're not mm-hmm. fighting this
traffic. The baseball traffic,
you're
right?
You're not fighting this traffic. But I want to go back to the vision of the board and how this one purchase is a game changer. Another word, legacy again. It's going to give us the opportunity to vacate 26th Avenue West, where the current home of 11 acres for Public Works resides. The Musgrave property came back into the picture. Gives us the ability to build that out for our workforce, the people that do, you know, the day-to-day work, you know.
The fleet,
the road paving, the utilities, what we call the yards, mm-hmm. lay-down areas. It gives them opportunities to be centralized there. So that frees up 26th Avenue, where, again, this board's vision, Commissioner Amanda Ballard's passion of homelessness, you see it every day. I love her. It's just the way she goes about her day and the compassion, the passion that she has for the individuals. I'm tearing up again, so I got to slow down. So it gives us the ability to start fresh. That's why we have a name called Fresh Start.
That's right.
So it keeps us from building a $20 million plus facility on Buckeye Road that the sheriff's going to operate. Again, I give credit where credit's due, Sheriff Wells. He's going to collaborate with the county. We'll be able to give 6,000 square feet almost initially. Yes, we have some modifications over the next 6 to 9 months once we vacate that building. But we have an ordinance that we have to enforce. It's called the No Camping Ordinance. And so unfortunately, when you have homelessness that are outside your facility, outside your neighborhood, living in the woods, we can't enforce that because we have nowhere to take them.
Right.
We will.
And we will.
With the opening of Fresh Start at the Public Works area, former Public Works area, we'll be able to enforce that. It also gives us the opportunity to grow with other nonprofits. That's huge.
Yes.
You have Meals on Wheels on one corridor. You have Mandy County Rural Health across the street. You have Centerstone right down the road. You have transit easily available. You have the opportunity for employment surrounding you. And so we'll be able to help those that need a hand up and immediately make a difference.
Yeah, and we're building, in essence, this recovery corridor. And I know under one roof, that's a big part of this. But Charlie, why are we doing this?
again, we have a board that's compassionate, that cares. They have vision. You know, we have people in place again that we have Jimmy Crutchfield, we have Jody Fisk in our public safety that collaborate with Sarah Brown in our Community and Veteran Services, Tracy Adams, who's been here just as longer than I have. You know, you just saw how much money we just gave out in our CDBG. You know, again, a compassionate board. But you mentioned Under One Roof, another initiative that just fell out of the sky. Sheriff Wells came to me one day and said, Charlie, I have this D2 facility that's it's served its purpose. We don't need this building anymore. 20,000 square foot former work camp. You know, it was a dormitory with 3,000 square feet up front. And he goes, here's the keys. What do you want? I said, I want to turn into a homeless shelter. Picked up the phone, called Commissioner Ballard. Within 30 minutes, we both were on site. 2 years later, I'm sorry it took so long. That's my frustration. But we have to follow all the rules just like anybody else.
Right.
Permits. We have to get approval from the board. We have to find the money. We have to hire an architect. We have to hire a contractor. We have to get a nonprofit that wants to operate it.
Yeah.
It takes time.
It does.
What's amazing to me is all of that goodness, frankly, is unlocked with the start of the catalyst, which is purchasing 9000 Town Center Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that domino, the series of next dominoes that it permits, it's amazing that the board is sort of connecting all of these decisions, thinking about not just a place to host staff that are expanding and need space and all the government partners that you mentioned, but then also the other projects that this enables. It's really remarkable how you just outlined that.
Well, there's one more big piece to this is we had $62, $64 million in the bank ready to build a new parking garage downtown.
Hmm.
We don't have that endeavor. We don't have that responsibility anymore. Yes, we have to find parking for the employees downtown. Yes, we will partner with somebody. There'll probably be some money that the county will have to put forward. But now we have a collaborative effort with the CRA of the City of Bradenton, Mayor Brown, Rob Perry, where we can work with their board and our board. We can now have a huge vision of what the downtown can look like. We could be possibly a grocery store, 2,000 parking spots, 20 stories plus of housing, you know.
Be remarkable.
Remarkable. But the county no longer is on the hook for that. And so if you add up the $20 million we saved at Buckeye Road for Fresh Start, which probably would have been more, the $60-plus million for the parking garage, which probably would have been more, not building a downtown facility for the 12th Circuit Court, which could have been $74-plus million, not, you know, these things add up.
They do.
That's a $200 million savings for a $23.5 million purchase. I want to be truthful. There's $10 million worth of renovations. We have to bring fiber. There is things we have to do to offset the building to make it accommodating for us. So I think the price tag was $34 million, I think. I'm using round numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. But even comparing next to our neighbor, Sarasota, that just spent, what, $75 million? So on a new building. So again, the cost savings is just incredible.
You mentioned it's a domino effect. Mm-hmm. I believe in the butterfly effect. One effect creates another effect.
All right. So this is the question I've been looking forward to this entire podcast. When I first met you almost 4 years ago, you were the director of property management. Even then, just like now, you had an impressive awareness of what was happening, not just within your own department, but everywhere in the county. I think we talked about this. Some people have like a photographic mind. Charlie has a human graphic mind. I mean, you pretty much know everybody in the county. Just for fun, if you could swap roles with anyone in the county for a day, what job would you pick and why?
We have what's called a team member of the month. And I have the opportunity to go on site, surprise that individual who's been nominated by one of their peers to be employee of the month. It's a great honor. The board chair goes with us typically when he's available. And so I get to go out and see these individuals at their workplace. And it's a great question. You know, we do, you know, mention animal services, our parks, our preserves, our beaches, you know, our stormwater, all of our facilities. But I'm that guy that just likes to mow his grass.
You
know, I just like to go out there when the day is done and get on my riding lawnmower at my girlfriend's house. She's got a couple acres. And, you know, I see a product that needs to happen. And when I'm done, I know I did a good job. So I think the question is, what job would I roll? I like when I get the opportunity to go to the landfill and see those big equipment, you know, those guys getting all that garbage dropped off. But they have to cover that each day and every day. It's an environmental concern we have. And just a note, at the end of the day, I've got it all smooth and finished, and I can go home knowing that the job's done right.
And that's it for this episode of Chambers Changes and Conversations. I'd like to thank Manatee County Administrator Charlie Bishop for his time, his expertise, and for doing work that matters.
Casey, Stephanie, I appreciate what you do. And again, this is just another example of how we're trying to communicate to the public. You know, we've got a lot of endeavors. Newsflash, I want to put a plug for that. Just quickly, that started out as an internal newsletter that, you know, I wanted to share with the employees doing the work that matters, showing what we do each month. And every time I looked at it, I was so proud of what we were doing. I said, well, heck, let's just put this on the outside. It started off with a couple hundred people. Now I believe we're up to 5,000.
We're way over that now. I mean, yeah, 7, maybe even close to 8.
So 8,000 emails go out each month. And again, I alluded, I read every email. It comes from my email address. I get the bad ones, I get the good ones, but I respond. That's one initiative, the Facebook that you guys do. You know, we turn Facebook on live for the meetings. We have Twitter, X, you know. But if there's any other way that we can communicate the public, reach out to us. We'd be more than happy to accommodate if willing, mm-hmm. if able.
From the county seat and on behalf of the men and women doing work that matters for you, I'm Casey Zempel.
I'm Stephanie Garrison.
And Charlie Bishop.
Make it a great day to live, work, and play
in Manatee County.
The premier place to live, work, and play.
He knows the tagline. I love it.